Today in the Institute of the Franciscans throughout the world is celebrated the dedication of the Basilica of St. Francis of Assisi. And it is a especially dear feast in the life of the Franciscan because it is in this basilica that the remains of St. Francis would ultimately come to rest. His incorrupt body would be transported and hidden by Brother Elias in a false pillar in what is now known as the crypt church in the basilica for fear that his remains would be stolen. So popular had St. Francis been during his life. And often it is that when we celebrate the dedication of a church like the Basilica of St. Francis or like St. John Lateran, often we are accused of idolatry by worshiping the building itself. But ultimately, that is not what we are honoring this day in honoring the dedication of the Basilica. We are honoring many things, amongst them the works that God has done in the soul of those whom a church is named after. And so, ultimately, in honoring the saints like St. Francis of Assisi, we are honoring the Lord himself, for it is his grace that accomplished such wonderful things in the life of St. Francis. But ultimately, as St. Francis fully understood, we come to the physical structure in order to worship the God of all goodness, most especially during the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And so, St. Francis would have great devotion to the physical structures of the church, not in the sense that he worshiped them, but in the sense that he knew what transpired in them. And so, he knew a church was to be a place in which a soul could come and put aside all the cares, all the trials, and the tribulations of the world, and enter in and pray to their good God. And so, if we were to describe St. Francis as a man who came to church to simply pray, then we would simply not be quite catching it. For certainly, that is the primary activity that takes place in a church. But with St. Francis and with all the saints, we must add an adjective to that word pray. That is, they prayed that it was reverential prayer. And so, this reverence that St. Francis would show was so delicate that in the beginning he would even command the brothers to carry with them a broom, and if they were to come across any church that had fell into a state of disrepair, they were to tidy it up so that when they left it, it was in a much better condition than when they first entered into it, because he knew at one time, if it wasn't at that moment, housing the very God of all goodness in the Blessed Sacrament, he knew that at some point it was, and so he wished it to be cared for. He, St. Francis, was given the grace after a period of purgation, for Christianity underwent a great period of purgation in order to purify itself from the falsities of the pagan world, in which everything in the created order had taken on a sort of perverse meaning and was associated with one vice or another, and this vice was often exercised as a form of honoring the false gods of the pagans. And so, St. John Climacus would explain this period of purgation, but St. Francis was given the grace to see very clearly that it was time for Christianity to pass through this period of purgation and begin to do the work of reclaiming the whole of creation. And so it was really St. Francis who began to decorate the churches with cut flowers, who began to honor images in the churches. Indeed, most of the modern devotions that we have, devotion to the images of the Sacred Heart, even to the Divine Mercy, have their origin in St. Francis and in the Franciscan Order. For St. Francis understood full well that we were a composite of soul and body, and so he saw the church as a place in which we really could come together and truly in a spirit of sacrifice for what is a cut flower that is used to decorate a church, a sacrifice given by someone who cut the flower and brought it in order to present it to his good God. And so these votive offerings that have become the part and parcel of true Catholic spirituality had their origin and their root in this reverential love that St. Francis had for every church and in every place. And so, indeed, we must strive to ask him to intercede for us, for perhaps if reverence would merely return to our churches, rather than all the cackle that we hear going on during the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, before the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, or after, if merely that was eliminated in the life of the members of the mystical body, and they truly came to church as their fathers and their forefathers did, with that spirit of reverence and devotion, entering with silence, with heads bowed and hearts lifted up, then perhaps much of what is assailing this modern world would disappear merely because of the reverence shown within the bosom of the church by the members of the mystical body. This certainly was the disposition of Saint Francis of Assisi and all his first followers, who are also entombed in the crypt church at Assisi. And so let us strive, as we honor this day, this dedication of the Basilica of St. Francis of Assisi, let us strive to imitate his reverence, especially that reverence that he would show within the church, in order that he could witness to that truth that he loved God above all things and that he truly loved his neighbor for God's sake. And so he would do all things in order to honor God, but his honor would always be a reverential honor, as his prayer would always be a reverential prayer. And so let us strive again to see our churches as true havens in which the troubled soul can come, spend some time with his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and leave the church strengthened by his grace, because each and every moment he enters into the church, he truly has a unique and special communion with the God of all goodness. And indeed, it is the very precise reason why the use of stained glass windows and all such things truly came to the fore during the time of St. Francis and after the time of St. Francis through the influence of his teaching. For the stained glass windows are something that are designed in order to keep the world out, so that everything we do within the church in some way points to that destination for which we are striving. For stained glass windows have images of the saints, and the saints are those who populate heaven. And so a church is a place in which we are to come and beg the Lord in reverence, in silence, and in devotion for that graces by which we can persevere like the saints who have gone before us, especially those saints like Saint Francis of Assisi and all the companions who are entombed in the Basilica Church with him, that they have gone before us and they have attained that for which the human soul was created. And so let us strive always and everywhere to demonstrate reverence within the church, begging our good God for his forgiveness, not only for ourselves, but for the whole world, as we enter with reverence and depart the church with reverence, so that we witness constantly. Indeed, in growing up, it was a common practice to see all the men in the neighboring area of the church to always be bedecked with a hat, and they did so in order that when they were unable to even enter into the church, but knew they would be passing by, they would stop if they were walking, bow reverentially, and tip the hat, or if they were driving by, there would be a tip of the hat made. And so they would strive to always and everywhere witness to that belief that inside that church they truly believed that the Son of God was present for all souls, present for sinners and saints alike, present for saints in order that they may acquire the grace to persevere in holiness, present for saints in order that they may acquire the grace of repentance and begin the life by which they too will ultimately enter the kingdom of heaven. And so let us who are members of that sinful race strive always and everywhere to seek God's forgiveness, his perseverance in our grace, as we strive to imitate the great saints in honoring the churches. Indeed, even in this church, though it is not yet complete, its purpose is to be a place in which souls can truly come and spend some time with their Lord in a way in which they are to forget the world. And so, each and every church in some way should manifest and reflect this disposition, that here it is the things of God that are to be attended to, and when we leave the church, we can leave so with that confidence that God has in some way given us the grace to strengthen us so that we can truly endure the trials, the tribulations, and the sufferings of life in a reverential way, in a way in which we honor God and accept all that comes to us as a way in which when we enter into church, we can truly offer some sacrifice, offer some penance in union with the sacrifice of our Lord, so that each and every day, like St. Francis, we may become more and more conformed to Christ crucified in this life, in order that we may enter into the mystery of Christ glorified in the life to come.